Tulip Mania, Charles de l'Escluse, Part 5, or Carlos Calusius, Part 5. Carlos Calusius enjoyed the speed with which his Leyden hortus took shape. It was a good distraction from some of the difficulties he had living in Holland. First of all, he endured the hard winter of 1593-94, when mice made short work of 150 of his precious tulip bulbs in his personal collection. Second, the miserable weather continued in the Low Countries throughout 1594. It was a year of almost constant wind and rain. This damaged many of the plants in the botanical garden. It did nothing to improve the health of the now 68-year-old Calusius. Although he was contractually obliged to look after the garden and to visit it each afternoon in the summer to answer questions both of students and distinguished visitors, Calusius' characteristic intractability led him to refuse his employer's request that he deliver lectures on botany. Instead, he spent much of his time beekeeping and pottering about in his private garden that he had insisted to be provided for him by the curators. While the hortus was largely herbs, medicinal plants, and exotic novelties such as the potato, recently introduced from the New World and at this time still regarded as possibly poisonous, which is just bizarre because the Incas ate them all the time. So did most of the people in South America. And the Spanish didn't see that, but at any rate, Calusius sowed his tulip bulbs that he had brought from his own garden in Frankfurt. He continued to cultivate the flower and study its mysteries until his death at the age of 83 in 1609. Carlos Calusius was without question the most important botanist of his day. He was a true scientist whose greatest works, such as his surveys of the plants of Austria and Spain, remained standard texts on the subject for more than 100 years. He was also a pioneer in the brief history of fungi that he published in 1601, more or less the first thing that had ever been written on that particular subject. For the last 25 years of his life, Calusius served as sort of a living expert for the botanists and flower lovers of Europe. He kept up a vast correspondence. This and his peculiar interest in bulbous plants ensured that the tulips spread far and wide, far more rapidly through Europe than might have otherwise been the case. This point of view, he was, in the words of Prince Emmanuel of Portugal, quote, a true monarch of the flower, end of quote. Yet Calusius' importance during his final years at Leyden lay not so much in the bulbs he brought to the university as to how he studied them once they were planted. The old botanist was not the first person to sow tulips in the United Provinces. According to one reliable chronicler, that honor belonged to an Amsterdam apothecary named Willisch Zeewaerts. Actually, he's the son of Zeewaert or Sievert, and the actual spelling is Zeewaerts, Z-I-W-E-R-T-S-Z-O-O-N, with an S on it. Wallich was a Protestant fanatic who is best remembered chiefly for his denunciation of the popular custom of celebrating the festival of St. Nicholas on December the 25th. He is known to have cultivated tulips in his garden before 1573. That's when Calusius was still in Vienna. Nor was Calusius the first to raise tulips even in Leyden. His own friend, Johann von Hagderlinde, had planted bulbs at the university before he arrived, having received a small package of bulbs from Joris Rye. But Calusius was the only man in the United Provinces, perhaps even in all of Europe, who was perfectly qualified to describe, catalog, and understand the tulip. Calusius' first discussion of tulips appears in his description of Spanish plant life, known as the Historia of 1576. Over the years, he amended and expanded this early work, publishing an enlarged treatise on the tulip in 1583. And finally, his masterpiece, the Rarorum Plantarum Historia, which appeared in 1601 while Calusius was still at Leyden. It is largely due to these works that we know as much as we do about the early history of the tulip in Europe. Calusius' treatise included First of all, detailed descriptions of the flowers, the ones he had personally encountered or the ones that he'd heard about from his many correspondents. Second, he took an interest in the genus, which quite frankly was the main topic of most botanists of that particular time. And third, was impressed with the ease that the new varieties of tulips could be produced. No other flower, except the poppy, was remotely as diverse. Thanks largely to the efforts of the gardeners of Istanbul, the number of tulip variants known in Europe, each distinguished by its unique color scheme or shape or the arrangements of its leaves and petals, were already substantial in Calusius' day. Calusius was able to catalog no fewer than 34 separate groups, which he classified according to color and shape. He was also the first to distinguish between early tulips, mid-tulips, and late-flowering tulips. To date, the tulip has been grouped with other bulbous plants, such as the iris, crocus, and the hyacinth, and is classified amongst the liliaceae. In all, there are 120 different species of tulips and countless individual varieties that have been cataloged. So now we have our cataloging. We now have our background. Now it's time to start working towards selling them and bidding on them. So we're getting much closer. Now the sources for this are Tulip Mania by Dash, Tulips and the Auto-Turkish Cultures by Demoise, The Revolt of the Netherlands by Guile, The Book of the Tulip by Hall, The Tulip by Pavord, and Memoirs of Extraordinary Popular Delusions and Madnesses of Crowds by McKay. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com. Ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us with a donation or a subscription or whatever you would like. Thank you very much.